This is a replay of the Thursday night, July 20th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip for the world's best customer service. It's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. We got 3 hours to spend together, but as usual, plenty to talk about. And if not, as I was saying, we do have the tabloids, but I was just reading a plethora of stories, thanks to James, who sends a million links a day, so it seems, and many of them just absolutely terrific, and most of them just truly frightening. But in any event, reading about what's going on in one Florida county, with 150 ODs and 9 deaths recently from the flesh-eating tranq drug. And you're saying, what? Well, apparently this is fentanyl, flesh-eating fentanyl, laced with an animal sedative known as tranq. And it has flooded an opioid-ravaged portion of a Florida county. And when I was reading about this, an 80% of the fentanyl that was seized contained these ingredients. And, you know, if you're lucky, it's just low blood pressure and you'll pass out. If you're not, well, you're going to wake up without a limb, for one thing, for if you wake up at all. And I was reading about the drug, which apparently is in great demand because it's cheaper to produce, obviously, when you cut it with the animal tranq. And it lasts longer. And as I'm reading the description, it says, after taking it, you'll be hunched over in a zombie-like stupor. And I think to myself, oh yeah, that's attractive. That's something I want to take. But the prevalence is unbelievable. And, you know, granted, it was several stories that James had forwarded, including the eight women inmates in one Tennessee prison who were arrested for having it in jail. I know, if it's in jail, it's everywhere, right? Well, apparently they didn't do a deep body cavity search, but I'm not 100% sure how you do that or if you should do that. But nonetheless, when I read about the side effects and I read about the desired effects, I guess they're desired, I'm thinking, what the hell has gone wrong here? And this is a massive problem, and I flat out don't get it. Maybe you do. But I understand why the people are selling it, obviously, because it's illegal and you mark it up and it's you make a fortune, to say the least. So there's a profit motive for those who are purveying it, unfortunately. But for those who are buying it, you know, let's see. You're aware that it's flesh-eating. You're aware that you may lose limbs. You're aware that you may not survive it at all, but give me another hit. Man, I've heard of addiction, but that's beyond addiction. So anyway, I couldn't pass that up without mentioning it. By the way, if you're addicted to fast food, fish, forget about it. We talked about this a lot yesterday, and I've had several emails since then from people who were talking about the dearth of fast food fish in their area. I had promised to go to a Culver's today to sample, they have them, to sample a fish witch for myself, but alas and alack, it was too hot to go anywhere. Yeah, another 121 degrees here. So I sat it out, but I'm planning to make the sojourn tomorrow, and I'll be able to report back next week. So if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. And we're going to start, speaking of fish, with Leah in Marcus Hook. Welcome back to WGN Radio, Leah.
Thanks for taking my call, Raleigh. How are you?
Well, I think better than all these opioid addicts. I can't imagine it myself.
Yeah, I can't either, but I wanted to tell you about what happened in Taiwan.
Yeah.
They found this, I think they said prehistoric, and it's alive. It's not dead. It's a fish called an oar fish, O-A-R.
Yeah.
And it's, they said, they call it the doomsday fish.
Right.
Because it's only seen, it only comes near the surface when...
Earthquakes.
When something, a natural disaster is about to happen.
Yeah.
And it's really creepy looking. I saw it on the news, and it's really creepy looking.
And apparently...
It does look prehistoric. Yeah.
Apparently, it was floating eerily upright. Now, when I first read it, I thought, oh, it shows up after the earthquakes. But now I find out it's a harbinger
before.
Of things to come. And so this thing is...
It's a harbinger, like the Mothman.
Right. This had 8 feet long, bulging round eyes. So apparently, scientists jump in quickly to say, "Yeah, it's not proven that that it's a harbinger." Well, I guess we're gonna find out for sure in the near future. I would think. I'm sure there are a number of people who are quite worried right about now. So there's a video. There's a video. I haven't seen it.
This is my idea. Is that it has something to do with the barometric pressure. And that's when it floats up to the surface.
Well, maybe I'll just blame it on mainland China, but I don't know. It could be. So apparently, one of the divers touched it, and lived to talk about it. So they're saying it was, they measured it 6.5 feet, which pales in comparison to the maximum recorded size of this kind of creature, which they've been in the past, had one that was 36 feet long.
Wow.
Yes, it's the longest,
that I didn't hear.
Longest bony, well, it wasn't recently, I don't think, the longest bony fish currently known to exist. And so,
it's eerie looking. Eerie looking.
You've got a number of people who are going with the, I won't call it a myth, but going with the legend that it's a harbinger of things to come. Now, what I want to know in the next couple days is, what are people going to do to protect themselves from the coming disaster, whatever it is?
Yeah, well, they don't know if it's going to come from land or
air
or sea, you know?
That's right. Right, and so there are those who are saying it's a messenger from the sea god's palace. All right, then.
Yep. That's why they call it the doomsday fish.
Yeah. And most people go with earthquake fish in terms of it being an earthquake or a tsunami because, after all, it is a deep water creature. That they claim that it normally lives as far as 1,000 meters below the surface. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. Well, now we have to watch poor Taiwan. See what's going on.
Yeah, poor Taiwan.
Yeah.
I'm afraid for them.
Well, yeah. I wonder if people are exiting.
We don't know how long of a warning it is. You know, is it a week, a month, a year? You know, we don't know.
Well, that's right. I don't know. In the there's a lot of Japanese folklore about this, actually. So I think that we probably have to go to the National Geographic or something and find out if we know more than just before earthquakes or tsunamis. And then there was a study in 2019 before this particular oar fish washed up in Forbes that said, no, it's not an impending earthquake. Apparently there was another oar fish seen then. And so we have the study. and what it washed ashore on some Pacific beaches. And Japanese researchers pored over newspaper reports, aquarium records, academic papers dating back to 1928 and could not find any correlation between an ore fish sighting and a major earthquake. So, apparently, statistics say, forget about it. It's just the stuff of lore. But, of course, now...
I don't know.
Then there was 2011, when right before one major earthquake that killed over 19,000 people. Sure enough, it was... and, by the way, that particular disaster is what caused the Fukushima meltdown. Sure enough, there were a dozen ore fish before that.
So, wow.
I think most of them were dead because they, at the time they said they washed up on the shore. Well, you would normally think that that washed up no longer living. So I guess one of the other questions is how is it if they're still alive? So I don't know. You can't interview the oarfish, unfortunately.
No, you can't. You really can't. How is it you're still alive?
Yeah, right. Right. Exactly. So, but normally they're in the Pacific and Indian Oceans. And apparently they migrate to the Sea of Japan. Now, what I wonder is, given that Fukushima is probably still spilling God knows what into the ocean in terms of amounts of radiation, the oarfish may be pretty upset right about now. So they might not be quite as dependable, although some say, like we say, that it's not dependable at all. I don't know. But they can grow to 36 feet long.
Yeah, this one was pretty big, but not 36
feet. No, between 6 and 8 feet. The guy who touched it, he's going with 6.5 feet, so I don't know. But apparently, in the Japanese research, there were 336 oarfish sightings between 1928 and 2011. And none of them happened within 30 days of an earthquake with a 7.0 or greater.
Well, do they have hurricanes there?
No, well, no, not in that sense. But they have typhoons.
You know, typhoons.
Just call them different. Yeah, but
I wonder if that could be
a
thing.
They're claiming that there's no natural disaster correlation. So I don't know.
I don't believe it.
Oh, okay.
I believe the Taiwanese people, when they call it the doomsday.
Well, they're all calling it that, apparently. But now, there was another study in 2018 that does show a correlation between oarfish sightings and El Nino years, when the water in Central Eastern Equatorial Pacific Ocean is warmer than usual. So El Nino affects the ocean depths differently than the surface, so the oarfish is otherwise disturbed.
Well, they're saying the water in Florida is hotter than any other year ever.
You know, I don't know. I see different, you know, I heard some statistics recently, and then I looked at charts and I said, yeah, that's nice statistics to cause people to be alarmed, but no facts. So I don't know. I'd have to look at Florida temperatures, but nonetheless, that's the Atlantic. So different ocean.
Yeah, that's the Atlantic. I know, but it was some...
And even though it seems warm in Florida, the Atlantic is a colder ocean.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, now I guess I have to look for more of these studies. And so there's an oarfish sighting, which obviously swimming in shallow water, maybe in pursuit of plankton. I don't know. But in any event, are they watching the oarfish? Where is the oarfish now? All right. So expiring minds want to know. I'll try to find out.
Definitely. Great. Thank you.
Well, yes, thanks for mentioning the oarfish, a fine thing to be afraid about. You know, if you're not worried about the fentanyl laced with animal trank, maybe the oarfish will do it for you. Appreciate it.
And Arthur Treacher's, they used to have one in Philly downtown, and I used to go there in the 70s. Yeah. And they were, it was like tempura before tempura became a thing here, you know?
Now, so here's the question. Why is it that fast food fish apparently is out of favor, if not out of flavor? But definitely,
I loved it.
I don't know. So we'll be in search of it, that's for sure.
I guess people think, well, you take fish, which is something really healthy, and then you make it unhealthy by deep frying it. Well, what's the point? You know?
Well, the point is, if it tastes good, most people walking into the fast food establishment aren't looking at the health quality. They're looking at how good does it taste. I mean, that's the only reason they sell those Jack in the Box tacos. So I don't know. I will do my
best.
What
about fish tacos? Do they have fish tacos?
Oh, of course they have fish everywhere. Are you kidding? Fish tacos is a very big thing. Mexico and San Diego especially. Oh, my God, every block in San Diego. But many places here have fish tacos as well.
I've always wanted to try one. I've never had one.
Well, I'm sure there is a fish taco place near you. They just don't call it that.
Oh, okay.
All right. I'll look for that, too, while I'm on the search, while I'm searching for oarfish and more.
Okay. We don't want to eat the oarfish.
I don't know if we do or not. I'm going to try to find that out, too.
Okay. All right,
thanks.
Raleigh.
Appreciate it. Yeah, because 36 feet long, that'd feed a zip code. 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, we'll get to Marianne in Chicago. There's room for you, too. And, yes, oarfish coming up on WGN Radio.
Take me back to my boots and saddle. Let me see that gentle stole. Let me ride that range once more.
Once more.
Give me
my boots
and saddle. Let me ramble along that prairie.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, it goes back to 1935 with Tommy Dorsey. However, that is Screamin' Jay Hawkins, who, I know, what possessed him, would have turned 94 this week, born in Cleveland in 1929, and sadly died in 2000, 70 years old. He was absolutely an original. And he brought a lot to take me back to my boots and saddle. All right, so we'll pick it up right there with Marianne and you two coming up on WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, that's Sue Thompson, and she was perfect for those John D. Loudermilk songs. Norman and Sad Movies Make Me Cry, and of course, James, Hold the Ladder Steady. Yeah, and she and Don Gibson did an album together, but she was not young at the time she was singing this stuff, actually, and died just last year, 96 years old, in Pahrump, Nevada, at her daughter's home, I think. But She was married to Hank Penny for a while. I think that was her second husband. And they had a TV show in Los Angeles in the early 50s, right before moving to Las Vegas. And that was a time, and I've mentioned this before, to this day, I don't know why, independent television in Los Angeles was obsessed with country and Western shows. It was unbelievable. And that was just one of them, the Hank Penny Show. And she was on Mercury and then on Decca and then Columbia. But it was that that stuff on Hickory when they paired her with John D. Loudermilk that was just magic as far as that goes. Million sellers. So 888-876-5593. It looks like the Orfish is sick. I'm sorry to say that. Yeah, dying, actually. Because one of the things that they noticed were major holes in the Orfish. This is the one that swam up in Taiwan. And they're thinking not a harbinger of death or things other than to the fish, for the residents or bad things to come. The fish was just dying. It hadn't yet, as far as I know, but apparently the bites would be in corresponding to what would happen if there had been shark attacks. So, yeah, it looks like the Orfish didn't hold his own. Now, while we're on the subject, of course, another whale carcass has exploded. Every now and then you hear this, and they do that. Actually, to the absolute amazement and horror of those watching. But apparently, decaying whales will absolutely do that. What happens is gas builds up, and then after that, the animal explodes. And yeah, it looks like mass murder on the ocean, to say the least. So, all right. And that happened again 5 days ago. But that happens fairly regularly. But again, you know, one thing to talk about it, another thing to be on the beach and seeing it. All right, 888-876-5593. Marianne in Chicago, welcome back to WGN.
Hey, Raleigh.
What's happening?
It's not only bad to see that. Can you imagine getting hit on the head with a chunk of whale blubber?
Well, it probably wouldn't be blubber, but yes, absolutely.
But it would be a big chunk of something.
Well, it would be, because the gas builds up, and to the point that the damn thing bursts open, and it looks like a whale explosion. Yeah, usually it's, you see, and there's videos, of course, YouTube has everything, right? But there's videos. Usually it's on the water. But not always.
No, I saw a video when it exploded on the beach.
Yeah.
And you heard thunk, 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 thunk of everything hitting the sand.
Oh, man. I tell you, bad day at the beach.
And, you know, it's not just the fish that you watch for a natural disaster. A few years back, I don't know where it was, they got hit by horrible storms. Afterwards, these guys went out on a boat to check the damage on the outlying smaller islands. There was no loss of life on those islands.
Okay.
And when they spoke to the people on the islands, they said, "We saw the birds, we saw the snakes, and we saw the lizards go up the mountain, and we followed them."
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so they knew that this tsunami was coming, and they all went for high ground, and these people knew enough. They didn't need no GPS or anything. They just followed all the wild stuff.
No, I think that's very true. And I think probably even domesticated animals have instincts like that as well.
Well, look when there's a solar eclipse.
Yeah.
There's no birds out, nothing.
Really?
Yeah, it gets so quiet.
Oh, no.
I was out one time when I was working at the phone company on the pole when one hit, and I'm like, you're in a giant shadow.
Yeah.
There's no birds tweaking. There's no squirrels running around. It's like they go and sleep or something.
Wow. I don't know. But, yeah, I think there's a number of things they claim that are natural indicators that all's about to break loose.
Yeah, well, look at how did this species survive all these thousands of years.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you think an oarfish is scary, have you ever seen a lamprey?
A what?
Lamprey.
What's a lamprey?
It's an eel-type thing, and when it opens its mouth, it has spiral and spiral and spiral and spiral of teeth. And it hooks on to other marine animals and just sucks the life out of them. And they've got them in the Great Lakes.
All right. How about
and when that? I saw that in my book in school, I was like, I'm not going to Lake Michigan no more.
Yeah, the adult lamprey, I'm looking at him now, may be characterized by a toothed funnel-like sucking mouth. Wow. There are 30,
scary, huh?
There are 38 known living species of lampreys and 5 known extinct species, 3 families. Now, let's see. Mostly in coastal and fresh waters in temperate regions. All right. So,
And as far as the water temperature changing,
yeah,
the reefs are dying off like crazy.
Yeah.
They found one reef, I forget where it was, had bleached out because like a 2-degree change in the temperature, the water came back a little cooler, and this one reef revived itself out of all the other reefs. This thing called the Crown Reef revived itself.
Well, you know, nature is cyclical, and the people who talk about it being the only time this has ever happened, no, it's cyclical, and it ebbs and flows, so that doesn't surprise me in the least.
And then when you had James on last night, and he was talking about Arthur Treacher's and Long John Silver.
Yeah.
And I have a Long John's not too far from my house. I wanted to go out and get one so bad.
Yeah, exactly. But, of course, at that hour it was closed.
I'm sure. But the power of suggestion.
Yeah.
Thank you, James.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Well, how about that? So now I'm looking at lampreys to see if they feast on people. I don't know.
So I don't know. So I'm wondering if maybe lampreys aren't attacking those whales.
Well, I don't know that there'd be...
Because they're like a parasite, you know what I'm saying?
I don't think they're near the whale in terms of where they live, though. But lampreys, do they attack people? Let's find it. The Internet's so wonderful. Yeah. All right, so let's see. Oh, do not pose a threat to people. They aren't interested in us, and human bites are rare.
Well, okay.
Yeah, now... But it says, in the Atlantic Ocean, sea lampreys don't often kill their host. All right, so they might be the vampire fish that are sucking on other things, but they're not stupid enough to kill the host.
Okay.
So no danger to human or fish.
Well, I feel better about that now.
Well, other than dying of fright when you see one.
Aren't they ugly?
Yeah, they're not attractive creatures.
But you know, to an angler fish.
But to other lampreys, they probably are just beautiful.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, Lake Champlain has some, and maybe this is Champy. Maybe this is a monster that lives in Lake Champlain.
Oh, you never know, because look at the shape of it.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I guess we'll have to study this as well.
But, well, I called to make a request. Hopefully everybody will be happy with this one.
I don't know. What is it?
Well, I figured because everybody's pretty much in a heat wave.
No, don't.
No.
Okay, good.
Would you play Summer Snow by Blue Magic?
Oh, you know, I don't know if I have that on here, but if I do, I will.
Surprise.
All right. We'll see. Thanks.
I figured maybe the haters won't hate that one.
Well, I don't know.
It's a beautiful song, right?
Well, I'll let anybody listening to it be the judge, but first I got to find it. I'll look for it.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
Yeah, I don't know. I got some Blue Magic on here, obviously Sideshow and things like that, and the other things that charted, but I don't know if I have Summer Snow. But I bet I can find it if I don't. So 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. John and Covington is back on WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. I've heard this over the years, and I just don't know if it's true or not. And I'm going through all the things, albums and 45s that I have, because I know at some time I'm going to be quizzed on these things. Anyway.
By who? Wait a minute. By who?
Nieces and nephews.
Oh, okay. All right. I was going to say, you know, okay. Very few people walk up to you in the fruit aisle at Kroger's to ask you about this. They never do.
That's funny you say that. I'm retired from Kroger's after 42 years.
Really? Oh.
Yes.
Well, how nice.
And I'll tell you, the last 5 years I was on that U-Scan, that was total hell. 6 robots and everybody... I mean, I swear, everyone, they tried to cheat.
Really?
You know? Oh, my God. Not everyone, but you wouldn't believe it. They'll put like 5 steaks, and there'll be 2 steaks in a flat package. And then they'll take 5 of those packages, and then they'll put a thing of bananas on it, and they'll punch in the code 4011, and they've got, oh, hell.
Wait a minute, they're weighing steaks and calling them bananas?
Correct. Well, and I have to go catch them.
Yeah, I'm sorry. There's nothing about that that has any finesse whatsoever. I mean, if you're going to be a good thief, that's not a great thing to try.
I don't know if they thought I was stupid or, oh, you wouldn't believe it. You just wouldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I digress. Have you ever heard, see if you've heard this is true, Tommy Chong and Jimi Hendrix were in a band at one time.
Yeah, they actually were in terms of that, but not anything that was making hits or anything like that. But absolutely that's true, and you can look that up online because I think that's one of those factoids you'll find.
Yeah, and could you tell me a little bit more about the comic team of Hudson and Landry?
Oh, Emperor Bob Hudson, Ron Landry. Yeah, they were disc jockeys, of course.
Hudson and Landry.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like I say, they were disc jockeys, and in Los Angeles, and a number of other places too. But their morning show on KFI got a lot of attention. And so it was that they wound up with a little record contract, and they would do things, some of the bits they would do on the air, like Ajax Airlines and things like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I have that on a 45.
Yeah, yeah, best line ever, what's your movie? No movie, it's a rodeo.
It's a rodeo. Yeah,
yeah, right. But sure,
and then, the same thing on the same record, they say, drunk guy says,
yeah,
or the pilot, in fact.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Those records were out on Dory, and absolutely. And they started KGBS, which was a daytimer at the time in Los Angeles, and it was owned by George B. Storer, hence the call letters KGBS. And it was while they were on KGBS that they got the Dory contract. And
now, I don't know if this is true or not. I heard, this is what my father told me, and he's been gone a long time, but they got into some trouble, and they were never heard of from since. I don't know.
Well, they wound up having a fight in the parking lot, but that's a different story. Hudson, God, the last time I saw him, I still got the T-shirt, KLAV Las Vegas. That neither of them wound up never being heard from again. They clearly were. Bob Hudson.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, Bob Hudson had been on the air just about everybody, and he was from 63 to the mid-80s. He was on some L.A. station, like KRLA, KFWB, KBLA, KFI, Keezy in Anaheim, and K-Garbage, KGBS. And probably people knew him most because he replaced Bob Eubanks as the morning guy on KRLA in 63 when they didn't have a license. And
wow.
at the time in 66, he was, you know, voted as the number one morning man in L.A., which, of course, was interesting because Boss Radio had already started. So, yeah. And he always had the same sign off, you know, get off the freeways, peasants.
One more question quickly.
Yeah.
On record albums, yeah, it seems like, if I remember him correctly, it'd be on the top left of the album. There's a series of numbers.
Absolutely. I'll talk about that. I will tell you exactly what that is. But right now I will play commercials, and I will tell you in moments what that is. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
All right, good deal. All that and more coming up on I almost forgot where I was. WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's Phil Upchurch combo, of course, with their biggest hit. You can't sit down, but Phil Upchurch was so much more than that. Yeah, his guitar work on Raindrops and members of Curtis Mayfield. And well, he's a guy for all around for Chess, so you heard him on virtually everything. And later he was working with Tennyson Stevens and had You Got Style, which I thought was a great record in the mid-70s. But, you know, whether it was Donny Hayes or Donny Hathaway or Ramsey Lewis, you name it. And he turned 82 years old yesterday, so happy birthday to Phil Upchurch. All right, Matrix numbers and more coming up next hour right here on WGN Radio.
Summer snow, summer snow.
Marianne's Request, 1976 on WMOT Records, stood for We Men of Talent. You know, Steve Bernstein and a couple other guys. Bobby Eli wrote and produced that. In fact, he co-wrote it. Len Berry was the other co-writer on that as well. Atlantic distributed WMOT, so that's the deal with Summer Snow, and a fine record it is. All right, so now we're going to talk Matrix numbers, but I see that John has called back. So did you want to clarify your request, or should I proceed?
No, well, I wanted to know on the record album,
yeah,
the numbers at the top corner,
yeah,
what those numbers are.
Well, if you're talking about on the vinyl in the runout, that's a Matrix number.
They're on the cover.
On the cover, that's a catalog number.
Okay, all right.
But the number that's interesting is the one that's on the runout on the vinyl. And a lot of people ask me about that. If you ever notice, if you look closely, and I don't care if it's a 78 or a 45 or a 33, you will see something etched into the runout, you know, right by the label. And originally, that was, as a Matrix number, was used at a pressing plant to know what presser to use. So you got the right record on it and what label. And so occasionally you'll find them. I'll occasionally come across one where, you know, the label doesn't match the record, things like that. So the Matrix number should tell them what to use. Now, but after that, Matrix numbers included very often what pressing plant. So there's a number of people who collect who, you know, love to look and see, oh, it says, you know, CT, Columbia Terre Haute, or CS, Columbia Santa Maria. And there's a weird kind of G for Columbia Carrollton. And all the pressing plants have a label too, and that's usually in there. But as of the 70s, engineers especially would etch things into the vinyl, and you can see anything on there. But that's originally the Matrix numbers originally told them what to select so they could press the right song onto the wax.
So that's on the
It's on the inside. You know, it's on the runout on the vinyl or wax runout.
But the number on the cover
is almost always just the catalog number.
Catalog number.
All records all records have catalog numbers.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Sure. That's easy. All right. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. So there you have it. Yeah, the catalog number, most people, I think, knew that. But a lot of people wonder, what's this other number? And like I say, since the 70s, people are creative about what they put as the matrix number. But originally, it was just supposed to tell you what to press. But most of them now will tell you exactly where it was pressed. And that can be interesting. Some of them will tell you what it's pressed on. Like, God forbid, it's polystyrene. And a lot of 45s, of course, especially in the latter 60s, were. So, 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. Brian is on the south side. What's up tonight, Brian?
Not a whole lot. Just staying up late listening to the radio. A couple of comments. First on lampreys.
Yes.
One of the many legends surrounding the lamprey, which is an edible fish, is that King John of England, at the end of his life, well, he liked lampreys for all of his life, but he had a particularly large meal of lampreys at the end of his life, and it was the end of his life because the lampreys were supposedly the last straw that caused him to come down with a case of dysentery that ultimately killed him.
Oh, my God. Now, there's
bad cookery living out in fields of mud. You know, three cheers for modern hygiene.
Yeah, they're supposed to taste like squid, but I must say, I've never had a squid, so I'm not going to have a lamprey either, so I guess I'll just not know.
Nothing wrong with that. As far as the seafood restaurants,
yeah.
The biggest problem with seafood restaurants, other than getting at least reasonable quality seafood at a price low enough that people are willing to pay for it, is that the big chain, the real big famous chains, all ran into various periods of mismanagement as well as falling out of favor of the market. That's why their creatures that at one time was over 800 locations, they're down to a single location.
Right.
And why Long John Silver's is obviously doing better, but not doing all that well.
Right.
But a lot of that comes from, you know, there are a lot of Catholics in the United States, and Catholics used to be forbidden to eat the flesh of
Fridays,
animals every Friday.
Of course.
So it was either fish or vegetarian every Friday of the year. Now that's only strictly enforced during the Fridays of Lent.
Right. Unless you don't believe in Vatican II, unless you believe that it'll come back. you're right.
Yes, and technically, you're supposed to do other alms work throughout the year in exchange for being able to eat a T-bone steak or pepperoni pizza on a Friday. But that's why you find stuff like anchovy pizzas and fish tacos.
Yeah.
Because the Catholicism was a lot stronger in Spain, which is where all the Latin American countries, except for Brazil, which is Portuguese and the same thing, comes from. And the Catholic Church, of course, is very strong in Italy. So your emigres.
Interesting. On mismanagement, I can see exactly what you're saying. And, of course, a lot of them got involved with vulture capitalists, and you can see their demise right there. But used to be all of the chains, the hamburger places and all that, always had fish as a choice. Not that they were specializing in it, but it was one of the things you could get, like chicken.
Yes, and to the extent they still do, once again, that's because of Catholics and tradition, and that their particular fish sandwiches happen to be just better enough to have a year-round following. McDonald's with their filet of fish, and even the other major chains will, if they're doing fish part of the year, they're going to do it in the springtime.
Yeah, for obvious reasons, I got that. Interesting. I just think it's sad that it was a staple, but I think that cost and availability along the way was probably a factor from time to time, and when they got rid of them, they just didn't bring them back.
Yeah, well, cost and availability is definitely part of it. Part of why fish and chips is so popular in the U.K. is because the U.K. is they're just an incredibly large island. Nobody's more than about 250 miles away from the nearest seacoast. Mm-hmm. And the nearest seacoast, of course, has commercial fishermen. And they got to sell their, you know, they got to sell their catch or keep eating anything other than fish.
Well, there you have it. All right, Brian, thank you for calling.
Thank you. You have a great night.
You too. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. Yeah, I would think if there was much of a demand, enough of a demand, that it would the occasion would be met by somebody who was enterprising. So for whatever reason, I guess not as popular. Sort of like many things that went away. We were talking about ice cream sodas the other night, which have nothing to do with floats. But try to find yourself a good ice cream soda anywhere. Forget about it. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, we'll be back to Animals and Disasters with Pete in moments right here on WGN Radio.
Yeah, somebody touched me in the dark last night. Well, somebody touched me in the dark last night. Well, it moved me when she held me tight. Oh, who in the dark last night? Last night, a stranger took my hand. Last night, a stranger took my hand.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's Buddy Knox. Yeah, I know him, better known for Party Doll, but that was the one that did it for me. Somebody Touched Me. Buddy Knox and the Rhythm Orchids. 1958 Roulette, of course, but not many people realize Ahmet Erdogan wrote that. Yeah, Somebody Touched Me. And I played it because Bobby would have turned 90 today. Born in 1933 in Happy, West Texas. Sadly, died in 1999 in Bremerton, Washington. Lung cancer, just 65 years old. But he was great. All right, so 888-876-5593. Pete in Sauk Village, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hello, Raleigh.
What's happening?
And you, well, that would take all the rest of your time tonight, so I won't go into that. Other than the fact I'm watching the zoomies happen with my cats right now.
Oh, very nice. Well, what do they know?
Oh, I don't know, but they're chasing around the house trying to check it out, I guess. But what I caught what your discussion, I got late to the show, but I caught your discussion about this incredible oar fish and how it supposedly responds to upcoming disasters.
Yeah, but I think it's just sick.
Well, I was just going to mention that it is, on land, it's a proven fact that animals will respond in advance to disasters.
Absolutely.
Like the mention of island creatures and such racing uphill ahead of a tsunami. There's also documented evidence about land animals in the California area responding ahead of earthquakes.
Absolutely.
And it's thought now that they are hearing the ground shifting deep down. They can hear the actual grinding and such of the rocks.
Oh, as opposed to just a vibration. Well, that's interesting.
In subsonics and ultrasonics, and I don't know what all, but last I heard, people were, scientific types, were placing audio transducers to try to pick up the sound and the actual earthquake vibrations.
Interesting.
That's one thing. Oh, and about eclipses?
Yes.
And animals and birds and such that are daytimers will consider it night.
Makes sense.
And that's why everything gets silent, because they're all bedding down for the night.
Interesting.
And then waking up confused a few minutes later.
That's what I was going to say. That was a short night. Yeah.
Yeah. Now to bounce to a different topic, which you mentioned, and that's deepfake AI.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Are you familiar at all? I know you're not a TV person.
True.
But I'm sure you've heard about America's Got Talent.
Yeah, I have heard about it. I've never seen it, but it's, I get the idea. It's as old as television itself.
Essentially, it's essentially an amateur hour.
Right, exactly. Major Bowes.
Yeah, he was great. But there was a company that went on there last year, and if you wanted to see, or if anybody in the audience wants to see what they did, they can go out to YouTube and search AGT space metaphysic, not plural.
Okay.
M-E-T-A physic.
Okay.
P-H-Y-S-I-C. And this is a pair of fellows who developed real-time facial mapping and through an AI system.
Uh-huh.
And what they did for their first presentation to the judges, they brought out a singer that had been on the show a few years before, and they had them wheel out a huge TV camera mm-hmm. and put it right in front of him. And then on the screen up above, we got to see Simon Cowell.
Yeah, that's what I was expecting you to say. Yeah, that it was the judges that they saw. Yeah, I believe that. Yeah.
They mapped the judges. Yeah. They mapped Simon Cowell's face onto this guy and had him singing a song.
Yeah.
Much to the chagrin of Simon.
Undoubtedly.
It was hilarious.
Yeah. Now,
but they did three rounds of this, and they also taught, and I think it was in the video, a second round, they showed some of the background work they did.
Okay.
And but there's also what they call sizzle reels out there, which are show other examples of the work they've done. And there's an upcoming movie that I think Zemeckis did this movie, directed it. And it stars Tom Hanks, and I think it's Gwyneth Paltrow opposite him. And they have to be played at various ages throughout the movie.
Uh-huh.
And they're using the metaphysic AI software to de-age them. But they've also, incredible other things. There was one clip that they showed where they had a singer singing a song in English. My cats.
Yeah, hang on a minute. Stay right where you are. Quell the cats, and we'll be back in moments after we find out what's going on in the world at large. No AI involved, I don't think, on WGN Radio.
You've got me crying every morning, crying half the night. You cut me off without a warning, and baby, that's not right. But all that gonna change, I'm gonna rearrange it, dear. I'm gonna get me some laughing, get me some loving in between tears. I'll leave the teardrops on my pillow, take myself downtown, and you won't see no weeping willow when I start moving round. I'm gonna find somebody new. There's still a few good years for me to get me some laughing.
GN Radio. I'm Ronnie James. That's Chuck Jackson on Juan, the flip side from 1962. Luther Dixon co-wrote it. And I always thought it, In Between Tears was the title, was one of the better records. But Chuck died, sadly. We talked about this in February of this year, 85 in Atlanta. But he had an interesting career. He was born in North Carolina, but moved to Pittsburgh when he was a teen and was part of the Dell Vikings. But who wasn't there? We've talked at length about the Dell Vikings and how that happened and the different groups. But as far as anything, he sung on Willette. He was lead on that. And no, I was not going to play that for you. If you've heard it, you know why. I was sparing you Willette. In anything, after that, he wound up touring with Jackie Wilson at the Apollo and all that. And that's how he met Florence Greenberg and Luther Dixon, of course. And they were there in the audience. And Florence owned Scepter and Wand. And, of course, Luther was her right-hand guy with pretty much everything when it came to selection of production and songs. And so it was that Chuck Jackson, courtesy of Bacharach and David too, and Bacharach and Hilliard, because any day now was Burt Bacharach and Bob Hilliard, but that really put him on the map. So 888-876-5593. We left Pete and the Cats a moment ago. He was quelling the cats. I'm sure they are now all calmed and ready to roll. So continue, Pete.
Well, actually, they're just creating havoc at the other end of the house right now, so they're out of my way. They're playing, and I don't want to interrupt that, really. They need exercise since they're trapped in the house. But back to the AI thing for a moment before I wander into another topic. I've got a whole fistful. And like I mentioned before, the last time I talked to you, I've been called Irwin Corey Jr.
Yeah.
But... this group Metaphysic has mm-hmm. done all kinds of things, and I have to correct what I said earlier. Robert Zemeckis is working with Tom Hanks and Robin Wright.
Okay.
In this movie, an article from the Hollywood Reporter, and talks about this. It was an article back from January. But now they're using the Metaphysic AI product to do the screen captures of their faces and such to de-age them for various scenes in the movie.
What's interesting interesting to me about AI, more than anything, actually, are the implications of this, because you're 100% right that you can look exactly like the real person, but now we get into who owns your identity, and at what point can somebody go ahead and create you without it being you? And, assuming you have some rights to it, what rights to it? Do you negotiate that? What do you get paid for that? You know, these are things that aren't yet legally decided.
Exactly. This is an entirely new universe of insanity that's opening up.
And it needs to be dealt with now. And, you know, if there were ever reason to strike or what have you, because in America, sadly, we don't necessarily own our own identity. You know, for instance, if we have a credit card, the credit card company owns our data. We don't have the right to sell it. They do. And on and on.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So
and also various, like, in the computer phone app range of mm-hmm. things. Well, there's a new one out there that, at least it's new to me, a place where you can buy stuff cheap called Temu.
Uh-huh.
T-E-M-U. And uh-huh. it's a website, but they are pushing their app heavy at you. And it's basically built by the same data mining crazies in China that gave us TikTok.
Right. And there are others, by the way, as well. And yeah, I'm aware. And they are selling your data. And, mm-hmm. you know, the implications of that are very far reaching, particularly when you're talking mobile apps, because they not only know what you're buying and what you're looking at, but they know exactly where you are. So there are a number of factors there that are truly frightening. But back to regarding your own identity, back in the days of the star system, when you had a deal with a major picture house, they pretty much owned you. But at this exactly. But at this point, I think before we do anything else, it needs to be there needs to be a line drawn in the sand, or there's a lot of people who are going to wind up losing a fortune with regard to their own identity.
Well, if just Googling Metaphysic, mm-hmm. Half the little articles that come up have to do with how they consider themselves the ethical users of this technology.
Right.
They want it. They just want to use it commercially. But I can see one of the things that they showed in one of their sizzle reels was a young lady, who did two different things. She became Queen Elizabeth, and then from the Lord of the Rings movies, she became Gollum.
Sure. Absolutely. There's no doubt, and we're just at the beginning of this technology. There's no doubt that the perfected version of this, it will be impossible to tell them apart. So now, next legal question is, of course, once you're dead, you can't be defamed. The libel laws have been very clear about that. So once you're dead, who owns your image? Does the estate still own your image? And at what point is it not your image? At what point is it a derivative work? Because clearly, yes, you're talking about things that will look exactly as the original. So to call that a derivative is a stretch. But these things are nowhere near being decided in court. And it seems to me that the ability to do it is going to surpass the laws that protect you. And I hope there are people working on it.
And I hope so, too. There are a couple things that showed up in the AGT episodes with the software in their performance. They did three things. The first one was just Simon Cowell being turned into a singer. The second one had Simon, their stage announcer, his first name is Terry, I don't know his last name, and one of the other judges, Howie Mandel, were doing opera on stage. And then the third one, I think in this one they actually did voice altering also, because they had Elvis up on stage, thank you very much. And initially the first little thing was where I want to thank AGT and
right.
Metaphysic for letting me be on stage. And it was a pretty good imitation of Elvis. Not great, but pretty good.
But they'll get
there. When he started singing, it was Elvis.
It was the actor
on stage doing the talk part. But then I think they used their voice altering software, or it was dubbed and poorly synced.
Yeah.
I'm not certain as to which.
Right, but again, I think we're taking it as a fact that this is the beginning of that, and they will perfect this. So I'm not oohing and aahing over what they're doing. It will come to complete fruition. I don't doubt it for a minute. But what interests me, and the only thing that interests me, is the legal aspect of it. Because, you know, they may want to have Simon Cowell singing on stage, but I've already, in my mind, brought back the Mitchell Brothers, and I think it's going to be Triple X. And so there's all sorts of things that can occur with this. And I hope to hell the discussion will be centered around that, not the gee whiz, they can do it aspect.
Okay. Can I make a left turn now?
Yes.
Okay. Let's get off that subject. I want to ask you, because I caught just a portion the other night of your discussion about what you will play and what you won't, what you like and what you
right.
won't. And I wanted to probe that list of likes and dislikes a little bit, and then I wanted to ask for a request.
All right.
Do you have any liking for what is, I think, mislabeled prog rock?
No, none. Zero.
Emerson, Lake and Palmer.
Hate them.
Yes.
Hate them.
Okay. What I like most about them is when they rock up a classic. Yeah.
I don't want to hear any of it.
Well, the only thing I was going to mention on that, and I'm not asking you to play it, was ELP's Fanfare for the Common Man.
No, all that kind of stuff. You know, remember, the bumpers are what allows me to do this show. That's the lore. I wouldn't do it if I couldn't play them, and they know that, and so they're my choice, and this is all for me. And we got off the path here when I'll tell you the request that did it. I'm not going to tell you who requested it, but when somebody requested Island in the Stream, I said, that's it, game over. You know, not going to be happening. But no, these are just things that kind of make me smile in between the breaks. And what's nice is since a lot of them are Chicago-centric and there's a lot of obscure soul from Chicagoland, is that we have listeners who enjoy them too. And that's terrific. But even if they hated them, I wouldn't care.
Okay. Now, I wanted to ask you about a specific album.
All right.
That, again, this is I'm just kind of probing all over the
place.
You
can.
The last album that Les Paul put out, which combined his
It's interesting, but I don't want to play it.
No, I'm not asking you to.
No, but I mean, it's interesting, but I wouldn't listen to it on my own time, if it, that's my answer.
Okay. All right. One group that I don't know if you're familiar with is a doo-wop group that's out of Northwest Indiana area by the name of Stormy Weather. I don't know if you've ever had a chance to listen to them. I was going to recommend them to you. But the request I wanted to make, and I'm hoping this falls within the, your purview, is Otis Redding, Dock of the Bay.
You know, I'll tell you, I don't mind the song. It's just so overplayed, you can hear it anywhere. And so I probably wouldn't. It wouldn't be something I want to hear. I've heard it a million times too many. Otis Redding, I'm more likely to, play security. That's my favorite Otis Redding.
Well, then please.
Yeah, then I will. But no, Dock of the Bay, you know, that's so overdone. It's a great record for what it is historically, but, you know, that's one where I now am at the point where it's like, oh, please, never again.
Well, the only reason I like it so much, and I've heard it a million times too, is that it parallels part of my life story.
Well, and that's why you should be listening to it, but I shouldn't be playing it. All right.
Okay.
Good deal.
That's quite all right. I just, my curiosity, thank you for answering my curiosity a bit. I'm just, there are other songs I might request down the road, but that was just.
Yeah.
What I was thinking now.
Okay, well, we'll try to do some Otis Redding that I can tolerate. Like I say, maybe security. All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right, so 888-876-5593. And, you know, the stuff that you like to hear, you can hear it in a zillion different places. So this just won't be one of them on a lot of stuff. All right, so 888-876-5593. We'll get to David in Long Beach. We got Don and Beloit. Ruth's in Gurnee. James on the south side. And Mark is in Aurora. Attendance is taken. There's one line available for you. But right now, it's the moment you've been waiting for. I know. With rapt attention and anticipation, it is time for Walter's Perspective, sponsored by HearingHealthCenter.com.
I've got the world on a string. I'm sitting on a rainbow. Got the string around my finger. What a life, what a world. I'm in love. I've got the song that I sing, and I can make the rain go. Anytime I move my finger, what a world, what a life, I'm in love. I'd be a silly so-and-so.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, just when you think you figured out what I like. That's actually my favorite version of that song. It's K-Star, who would have turned 101 years old tomorrow. Born in 1922 in Oklahoma, died in Los Angeles, 94 years old, though, so it was a long life. And, man, late 50s, everybody and their brother did this song, but I thought she did it best. All right, some more coming up next hour with David, with Ruth, with James, Mark, Don, and you on WGN Radio.
Nobody seems to understand how
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and as I was saying, I am sorry to report that Kevin Mitnick died. Yeah, I did not know this. It was on the 16th, so that would have been Sunday. And he was a celebrated hacker. I thought the guy was a riot. And sadly, he was in jail for far too long for things that you shouldn't be in jail for, is what it really comes down to. But if you were a subscriber to 2600, the Hacker's Journal, of course, I'm on the list, you would have known all about Free Kevin. And for years, we had these Free Kevin bumper stickers and T-shirts and all this kind of stuff. And finally, he was, of course, but sadly died of pancreatic cancer. And when I was first filling in on Coast to Coast, when I was Art Bell's designated replacement in 1999-2000, he had gotten released while I was doing that. I think it was January 21st, 2000, and the hapless booker there wanted to know who I wanted. I said, oh, Kevin Mitnick. Well, she had no idea who that was, of course. And it's funny because years later, I heard heard poor Kevin being interviewed by George Norrie. Needless to say, it was painful. But he wrote a few books. In fact, I think he was on there looking for people to tell him stories on the art of intrusion, because he did include many, many hacking stories, the real stories behind the exploits of hackers, intruders, and deceivers. Well, yeah, I thought about sending him some stories, and then I thought, nah, statutes of limitation definitely over on this stuff, but, you know, too many people still alive. But I'll tell you now, yeah, one by one, it seems they're all passing. So rest in peace, Kevin Mitnick. I was real sorry to hear that. He wasn't old either. He would have been in his 60s. Yeah, I think he was born in 63. Yeah, so there you have it. So what? I guess that would make him, because I think he would died like a month shy of his 60th birthday. Yeah, what a shame. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. David is in Long Beach. Hello, David.
Good evening, Raleigh. I hope you can hear me loud and clear.
Loud and clear. What's happening in Long Beach?
Well, I promised you back in May that I'd give you a call after we got Steve on the show, Steve Probst, that is.
Yes.
And, then I got allergies and then a cold, and I was feeling kind of rotten for the month of June.
Oh, no.
Feeling much better now, and so I thought, geez, I got to call Raleigh and fulfill that promise.
Yes.
And so here we are. And I was telling John, you know, he asked me what we'd talk about, and I said, well, I was going to talk about how long I've known you, or known of you,
yeah,
for that matter.
Yeah.
KOA in Denver is where I first heard you.
Okay.
There, doing the overnights. That would have been 88, I believe.
Somewhere. I was there, yeah, 87 through 1990, yeah.
Okay, so that's, yeah, I think I listened most of those 3 years.
Yeah.
And then the only other time I've ever called you on the air was when you were at the 710 KMPC in the all night.
Oh, yes. Yes. That was painful, wasn't it?
You were playing Music of What's Rest of Your Life.
Yeah, I called it that, too. The Music of What's Left of Your Life. Yes.
And and interspersing it with phone calls.
Right.
My phone call, the night I called you, I just had to call. You may remember this. When I was working at a lighting store in Santa Ana, California, one day I was just standing there, and the doors open, and here comes in, and I recognized them right away, Paul and Jan Crouch.
Yes. Yes. Well, yeah, who else has lavender hair? Let's face it.
Well, and believe me, she was wearing the lavender hair and the whole thing.
Yeah.
And, oh, it was so amazing. And they had the most horrible taste in lighting, because we took them back into the corner. We had all the gaudy stuff.
Yeah.
Because the way the set looked on television, I think the way their house looked, too.
Yeah.
And, oh, it was just god awful. And I remember, because I had already met you by then,
right,
at Steve Probst's house, and I got to call Raleigh because she'll just love this.
Oh, yeah.
And you did.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, that's interesting, because if you had asked me, I thought that we met before that. I thought when I was on K-Hits, which would have been 79 and 80. But
No. I did not know you that far back.
Okay.
And it took me a while to figure out that the Raleigh that was in Billboard was the same Raleigh that was on KOA. It
oh, yes.
A while, I think.
Absolutely.
And then, because the last name was different.
Right. Right.
And so then I figured out, oh, I know who that is. And I was listening to you on KOA. In fact, that brought up a question that I had for you. There was that overnight host on Saturday night into Sunday morning. It used to do the trivia.
You're talking about Rick Barber?
No, he did all these trivia things. It was like 5 hours Saturday night.
Okay.
Was it Tom?
And I'm trying to think of his last name now, but he was also the kids' orchestra leader there. Sadly, he killed himself.
Oh.
But no. Yeah. I'm trying to think of what. And I knew him. I can see his face like it was yesterday. He was from the Twin Cities. And what the heck was his last name?
Yeah, I've been racking my brains trying to remember his name, and I couldn't.
Let me try.
But I used to like his show, but, you know, you got me listening to KOA a lot. And back in those days, you could get Long Beach a lot clearer.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, what? No, this is going to drive me crazy.
I'm sorry.
No. Well, you know, the mind is going, and I admit it. I always say my mind packed up and left me, but it really did. We were having dinner, and John was talking to me about Seattle. I was there, and yes, I remembered everything, but I blanked on it. I couldn't remember KVI's call letters. And finally I said, well, they were 570 on the dial. And, you know, he's like, KJR? I said, no, it was another three-letter call. And I finally had to look it up. And I thought, how can I have forgotten KVI? You know, I mean, I worked for Golden West Broadcasters. I should know this. And I just couldn't.
Yeah, Golden West, sure.
Right.
Absolutely.
So the same thing. Yeah. Tom, like I say, was worked on part-time. His full-time job was conductor of, like, the youth symphony and the ballet. One of the reasons I remember him so well was because his wife, who had been a world-class ballerina, had broken her foot or something and never was going to do it again, so she had another profession. Well, I knew what that profession was, and I never would have said a thing, but the program director and the general manager there loved to do things that would just drive me crazy. I mean, I swear to God, they must have spent time at night trying to think of them. And one of them was they decided I was going to do a remote from Shotgun Willie's, which was a strip club in Denver. And I said, okay. And I said, you really want me to do this? Oh, yeah, you're perfect for this. I said, you want me to do a whole show at Shotgun Willie's? Yeah. I said, you're not going to get what you expect. And, well, no, you'll be fine. I said, oh, I'll be fine, but you don't want me to do this. We want you to do this. So I get there, and the first person I interviewed, Tom Jensen, that was his name, Tom Jensen. The first person I interviewed was Tom Jensen's wife.
Wow.
So, and so I outed her on 50,000 watts.
There you go.
Yeah. And she was a beautiful girl, but ultimately I think she left him for a customer. But sadly, no, he did commit suicide years later, but I did not know that.
Yeah. I'm sorry to hear that. I did enjoy his show as well as I enjoyed yours. Then I got to meet you at Steve's house and then heard you on KNPC, told that story. Then I met you again down at KFMB.
Oh, yes.
Steve came down to do, I think, a good part of your show. I drove down and sat in.
Okay.
And then I came and saw you at KFMB one other time. Shotgun Tom was picking up all the logs because his wife was doing one of those services where you check all the commercials on the various stations in the market. And so I got to see you then. And I was thinking about it. The next time I saw you was in Philadelphia.
Okay.
In 1997, you were on WWDB.
True.
And you did the show from your apartment. You graciously invited me up to the apartment.
Yeah, Cedarbrook Hill.
I remember that you had a lot of white.
Yeah.
White carpet.
Yeah, it was. It was all white carpet. You're right about that, right?
Yeah.
I didn't pick that, by the way. The owner of that building had died, and that's actually how I moved there, because he had owned the three buildings forever, and he kind of kept it just the way he wanted it, and it was almost all senior citizen, probably 95% Jewish people, and they had their own thing going on. Well, he died, and they would rent to anybody. Well, they proved it. They rented to me. But, yes, so I got these all-white carpeting and other things, and, yes, I remember it well. But it was great because it was big. I remember that apartment well.
Yeah, so I was up there, and then the next time I saw you was with Steve Probst, and we went over to the pizza place by his house. Johnny Hayes was there.
Oh, yeah.
And a couple other folks. I don't know where Johnny is. Haven't heard anything about him.
Yeah, Lane Quigley was there, too.
Yes, that was. I knew there was another person. Yeah, that was the other person.
Lane Quigley, yeah. And Johnny, as far as I know, is still with us and still living in L.A. and not doing anything.
Right. I think he's kind of laying low and wants it that way.
Yeah, that's exactly it. But, you know, Sam,
like how you want to do it when you're gone off the airway.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I'll just fade away. You betcha. You'll remember him, Lewis, Dr. Hitz, the psychiatrist who would usually show up at events and stuff like that, too. I can't believe there would be a dinner that he didn't go to. But anyway, when Dr. Hitz died, he willed me all of his albums and he willed Johnny all of his CDs. Well, Johnny just sold them. And I was just so heartbroken that I haven't talked to him since then.
Oh, okay.
You know, it took him a while. He left him in his kitchen for like 3-4 years, but then he just scooped him up one day and sold him, you know, one of those used record stores. And I was like, broke my heart. So, yeah. Meanwhile, yeah, I categorized every album that Dr. Hitz had. So
I'm sure you did.
Yeah, yeah. It took me 3 different locations. I finally finished the category in Chattanooga.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and then you went on to other stations, and I kind of lost track of you a little bit there. And I'd hear your show online once in a while, and then now I've picked you up here on WGN again.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was on XM for about 10 years. So.
Oh, see, I didn't get serious until Howard got on, and that I didn't have XM ever. So, but now, you know, I'm hoping we can get Shotgun Tom to come on your show.
I would love that. And you know, he loves to do stuff, so just tell him.
Oh, absolutely he does. He's working on the last chapter.
Okay.
And I'll tell you, he's recovering from gallbladder surgery from last year.
No.
Oh, he's doing fine. He's playing it up on his show. He loves.
Oh yeah. Well, no, I mean that's one of the most. That and cataracts are probably the two most performed surgeries in America every year. So it's fine, but still a shame.
He's bounced back quite well, and he's you know doing his show. It'll be 5 years Labor Day weekend that he's been on Sirius,
which is great. It's perfect for him.
Oh, he absolutely loves it. That's his thing, and he's into his trains and all that. But we'll. When the book is finished, Neil Ross is helping him out with that.
Oh, good.
And,
I love Neil.
Self-publish. Yeah, so do I. He's a great guy.
And Neil worked for me at KPOL, Radio Poland.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he defected to the FM, and I encouraged him and anything to get off of KPOL, but yes.
So, anyway, we'll make that happen. He's going to self-publish through Amazon. And
all right.
We'll hopefully do that. It's good to talk to you. Oh, I wanted to bring up one thing. I hope this is kind of a down note. But when you worked at KMPC, did you have any, did you see or talk to much? Because you worked overnight. So you worked during the day. John Fells?
Oh, yeah, he died.
Yeah, okay, you did hear about that. Yeah.
Well, what was really weird, yeah, I knew John very well. Because, you know, I was there the first time in, like, 1980, right after KPOL for a little while. Anyway, yeah, so I knew John Fells going back then. And it was really weird, though, because I don't know, it was like maybe, I don't know how many years ago now, I lose track of time. But he left.
I know what you're going to talk about.
Yes, the wife. Absolutely. He leaves the wife and takes up with another woman. And
I also heard some other things.
Well, yeah, I'm editing it. I'm editing it for air, please.
Yes.
But yes. And to this day, it's like, what? And, you know, I still keep in touch with Kevin Gershon.
Yes.
And, you know, when I first knew Kevin, he was getting out of Birmingham High School. And now he's about to retire from CBS. Oh, God, I'm old. But
yeah, 40 years ago, I got John Fells was very gracious in letting me come up to the station to meet Robert W.
Uh-huh.
Kevin was his engineer that morning. That was 40 years ago this month.
Yeah.
And Morgan was not in a good mood because he'd run out of gas that morning. So it was not the most pleasant thing, but
it made for great radio. I mean, you know.
Oh, this is true.
You kind of wanted him pissed off. Absolutely. The more you could encourage him to be upset, the better the show was going to be.
Yeah. How did the changeover go during the time that you were doing overnight?
Well, it was a soap opera, to say the say. I was living with Bill Drake at the time. Do I need to go into more?
Yeah.
Okay,
no.
So we'll just end it there. Yes, it was a true soap opera. Every morning it was, yes. Yeah, yeah. Sadly, I forget his name now, but I don't remember he was doing news. He was the nicest guy, but he always took pity on me. Not Marv. He didn't.
Oh, Tom Lehman?
No, Marv hated me as far as that goes. But no, what the heck was his name? He was the nicest guy. Tall guy, thin.
Bob Steinbrink?
No. Now, what? Oh, this is. I'm telling you, my mind has up and left me.
Yeah, because, see, actually, yeah, Wayman was gone. He was retired by the time Robert came back. And Marv Howard did the news.
Right. He didn't like me. Hated me.
Oh.
But the other guy.
We're getting too esoteric for WGN here on here.
Yeah, I don't know if it was sports or no. Dave, this is going to drive me crazy. But I'll think of it at 3 a.m. or something, and I'll of course never find your email again. But I'll try.
we'll leave it there, Raleigh, and we'll talk again soon. It's good to talk to you finally again instead of just emailing.
Yes, absolutely, and I hope you'll call me again soon.
Yeah, we'll try it again. Oh, and I'd like to get Steve on maybe next month, the fourth Wednesday or Thursday.
You pick it out. You tell me. You just write me. You say this is when he's on, and he will be.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you. Good deal. Thanks.
Good night.
Appreciate it. All right. So now, what the heck is his name? I can. Oh man. Oh well. 888-876-5593. I don't know if he did traffic or what. I don't even know what he did, but. Well, all right, so we'll pick it up right there with whatever's left of the show right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, well, that didn't fire, so, well, we're coming up against news anyway, so play you two bumpers next half hour, and we'll make up for it. In the meantime, in the waning moment of this half hour, Don and Beloit, welcome to WGN Radio. Have we lost Don? Has Don gone to sleep for the night? Oh, there you are. I hear noises.
Yeah, I didn't hear your introduction there. Sorry.
Wake up.
Well, we're all thrilled that you mentioned last night that you're going to your first Culver's, but John pointed out that you guys did go to Culver's when you were in Chattanooga.
In Chattanooga, yes. I had been to Culver's in Chattanooga. Yes, I remember it well, but I didn't order the fish.
Okay. Well, so, I like the codfish dinner a lot. Yep.
Well, I'll be having it as soon as it's less than 121 degrees.
Right. I don't know how you guys do it. I mean,
badly.
You choose to live there, remember?
Yeah. No, we didn't actually. You can't move them once they're licensed.
Okay. Really?
Of course not. No.
I was going to be your Culver's guide, your Culver's experience.
Okay. All right, well, hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay awake, and we'll pick it up in moments right here on WGN Radio.
I want security, yeah. Without it, I'm at a great loss. Oh, now, security, yeah. And I want it at any cost.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, more Otis Redding. Not sure if Mr. Pitiful or Security is my favorite. And then I thought, well, there's also Tramp. Yeah, I think Carla Thomas makes that, though. But yes, indeed. So, 888-876-5593. Big John McElhenney. All right, that was who was the third person at KMPC. And because Marv Howard did news, like I say, he hated me. And Robert W. Morgan was the morning host. And Big John did the traffic. And for years, he had actually been a pilot. He was doing airborne stuff, but he had had a heart attack or something and no longer was flying. And he left the radio for a while and then came back and was kind of grounded. But he was certainly a very big part of the show. And he was clearly my protector in that.
in that particular triangle. Although the great mornings were when Mr. Haney, would come in and be there live, because I loved Pat Buttram. I thought he was hilarious. So 888-876-5593. I believe we're talking to Don in Beloit, and he's still awake. So the floor is yours.
Hey, Riley. Well, we're just thrilled about Culver's in Wisconsin. I mean, all your listeners here just probably just jumped out of their chairs when you were mentioning it the other night.
Good. Well,
but it's good. I mean, you know, it's the Wisconsin cheese. They promote it. It's a great Wisconsin franchise story that just kept spreading.
Yeah.
They got the butter burgers, right? So they're a little bit different. You know, they're better. I think they're way better, you know. I we talked about the codfish, and it's seasoned. They have walleye, I think. But I usually, you know, most people I know like want a quick thing. They just get the kids meal cheeseburger with like steamed broccoli and chocolate milk. I mean, it's just so quick, you know, and so good.
Yeah.
And then they got the custard. It's not ice cream. It's custard.
No, it's custard. I know they're big for that.
Yep. Got the scoopy. I always get a little scoopy with the flavor of the day, and I always add raspberries, and oh my goodness, that's just so good.
All right.
But there's one more thing. I mean, there's the ultimate. You know, if you really want the ultimate, you know, and you like lizards, for example, then...
Oh no, your cell phone, you're digitizing out of my life. You're going in little bits and pieces, so to speak.
Oh,
hello, operator. All right, Don, we'll talk to you next week. I guess that was the symbol for me to hang up. All right, or for you to hang up. Or yes, your cell phone just plumb fell apart on us. So, Eric, in Decatur, welcome to WGN Radio.
Oh, thank you, Raleigh. It's a pleasure to speak to you. I got three things to add to this show tonight fairly quickly. Mm-hmm. First of all, what I was talking about last night towards the end was the music and lyric quote stealing, where an artist will come out with music and or lyrics,
yes,
and then it'll get used. And the weird part is when the original artist has a hit with it, and then the person that takes it, that quotes it, also has a hit with it. And you know the most famous, well, you've heard of the Led Zeppelin one, and I think they finally, I don't know if they ever solved that case in court or not. I don't know if you know anything about that.
They did.
They did?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay. Okay, and here's the most blatant one I've ever heard. And the second song, the one that stole it, became far, far more popular than what they stole it from. Mm. You're familiar with the group King Crimson, album.
By the way, if you wanted to know on Led Zeppelin, if you didn't know, they did not illegally borrow from Spirits Taurus. That's what the courts ruled. It was the Ninth U.S. Circuit Appeals. And that was come out just a couple of years ago. And so that's a long, long time ago. I don't think that ruling was till 2020.
And you know what? I had listened to both, and I'm not surprised, because if I'd have been the judge, I would have said no. They're close, but I would say no cigar. But here's the most blatant one of all that brings me back to King Crimson. Are you familiar with their album? They didn't have many. The late 60s, it came out in 69, In the Court of the Crimson King. Are you familiar at all with that?
I'm aware it exists.
Okay. They were quite a band. Anyway, back to that album. They had a song, track one on side one, is a song called 21st Century Schizoid Man. Okay, and if you listen to that, if you got the album, anybody could access these days with YouTube, 21st Century Schizoid Man by King Crimson. You listen to the opening riff of that, and then you listen to, and everybody's heard of it, well, the metalheads. I'm not a metalhead. I'm older than that. Luckily, I didn't get in or into the metalhead generation. But everybody's heard of Black Sabbath and Black Sabbath's first huge mega hit, Iron Man. It is a blatant ripoff. You just got to listen to the very first riff of 21st Century Schizoid Man, and you listen to the very beginning of Iron Man. It's just identical. It's just identical.
There's a lot of that. What's interesting, by the way, on that King Crimson song you're mentioning, that also wound up being another lawsuit more recently for Universal because of Kanye West. He used a sample.
Oh.
And the mechanical rights owner said, you're not paying us for power, or you're not paying us enough. So that was, you know, that song was the copyright gift that kept on giving as far as lawyers were concerned. So
yes.
But there, absolutely. You know, there's so many of those. But as I was saying last night, the real key is that no one's going to sue you unless whatever you did generated enough money to be worth it. And, you know,
right.
Like I say, when it was Dallas Frazier who wrote Elvira, and he recorded, and nobody cared, and Baby Ray recorded, and nobody cared. It wasn't until the Oak Ridge Boys sold a million copies that here come the Rivingtons saying, well, in the middle of it, they're saying, boom, pop, a mow, mow, and that's ours. Well, I was real surprised.
Oh, that was a real moneymaker because it was a crossover. I mean, I don't know if it went to number one.
It sold over a million copies. That's a lot of but you know, I mean, that's the first time I realized we were copywriting nonsensical lyrics, because the rest of Elvira didn't bear any resemblance whatsoever. But you know, there's an old Jackie Ross record, a Chess record. It was her big hit, "Selfish One." And every time I heard "Selfish One," it didn't matter what. It's the opening of "Tenderly," which is a pop standard. And you know,
that's what you heard. Yep.
Well, let me play the opening of this, and you tell me. And nobody ever sued anybody. Of course, you know, "Selfish One" didn't sell millions of copies, but even so. Now, if that's not "Tenderly," nothing is.
Okay, right.
So,
right.
And no one gave two hoots and a holler.
But yeah, and back to the King Crimson. If any of the listeners they heard, if they ever care to listen to the two, it would be identical. Now I'll get on to the next thing, because I got three. Remember earlier in the show you was talking about those etchings that they would put on record albums.
Yeah,
at the very end,
the Matrix.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
And you said it, and you're right. And then in the 70s, sometimes there would be messages. Okay, did you know there is a message there on one of the greatest selling albums of all time? And when I tell you the album, you'll know it is one of the greatest. It still sells. But anyway, do you even have an idea what I'm talking about?
Well, there's so many. If you're talking the 70s, there's so many.
I'll tell you what it says, and then you're probably going to immediately know the album. It says, "Happy New Year, Glenn."
Yeah, okay.
And remember, it's one of the greatest, the Eagles' greatest hits, 1971 to 1975. And I don't know the numbers on that, but I do know that it's got to be one of the greatest selling albums of all time. But if in the etching, in that area, and I don't know, it says, "Happy New Year, Glenn." So that album probably was pressed, I don't know, around Christmas time maybe. But and then look, the rest is history on that album.
Not a fan of the Eagles, so never have seen
it. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, that's, well, then, yeah, and I respect that. I respect that. But, yeah, they were, if you look into the greatest selling albums of all time, it's right there in that list. And I had that album as a teenager. But anyway, yep, it says that on that right there. And anyway, okay, the last thing I'll do is, see, you probably know this too. You know, okay, let's talk Billboard. Let's talk Top 40 for a second. And you know how they go up the charts, number 40 to 1. You're aware that there's been a couple songs, I won't say the year. I mean, it hasn't been in the last 50 years. There's a huge clue. Is older. Anyway, there's been a couple of songs that have been number one 1 week. 1 week later, not even in the top 40. You know about that probably, right?
Yeah. Fred Bronson wrote a book while I was at Billboard about that.
Okay, well, I don't know if the listeners know, so I'll go ahead and say it. It happened in 1948, and it happened in 1952. Okay, and in 1948, the number one was, it was a Christmas song. They both are. It was a Christmas song, "I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus." Went to number one, and it was by a 13-year-old. Talk about little Stevie one-hit wonder. It was a number one song for a 13-year-old in 1948. Next year, it was... I got to calm down a little. The next week, it was totally off the charts.
Yeah.
So it went from one to off. And that happened one other time.
By the way, that's Jimmy Boyd, and that was 52.
Oh, all right. I did get the year wrong. Okay. The other one I'm going to say might be 48 then, or 49. Yeah, you're absolutely right, because I just learned this last night. Mm. Yeah, Jimmy Boyd, absolutely. And then the other one was prior to that, and it was something that everybody's heard of. And, of course, I don't know how many other hits he had. You might be able to tell me. But Gene Autry's "Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer" did the same thing. It was number one. And then the next week off the charts. Do you know if he had
Gene Autry was the singing cowboy. I mean, no, Gene Autry had a ton of records, not one or two. So, of course, that's what he was known for, the singing cowboy.
Okay, yes. And that was basically about it. But it's, oh, and this is for the other people listening that haven't called yet. Trust me, I know it takes a lot of guts, but if you do it and you're in the same genre as what you talk about, it's one of the most fulfilling things I've ever done in my life. And they always say no guts, no glory, and you frequently ask for callers. But
yes.
I've listened to you for almost 2 years, and this is only the third time I've called. But, I mean, I called last night, and the joy was so real, and I felt so good about it that here I am calling again tonight, and I know all your regulars. I know all their stories. I know all about all of that, and it's just wonderful. Usually, Raleigh, and I'll leave it with this, that's the best 3 hours of my day. The most fun is listening to you, and now I'm going to try to call very often.
I'm going
to
count on it. Yeah, I was going to say, please don't wait another 3 years. Whatever you do,
no, but, I will not. It was, and I had some ammunition. Well, one thing. This is to the listeners. If you're going to be nervous when you get on the air, whatever you want to talk about, just kind of jot it down. I keep a notebook. Jot down what you want to talk about. That way, when you finally do get on the air, you won't stumble. Hopefully, and you'll just write down what you want to talk about. It's that easy. Listeners, listen to me. It's worth the payoff. All right, Raleigh,
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right.
Talk to you soon. Good night. Okay, bye. All right. Yeah, I think Gene Autry probably had like over 500 records that were released. No, he was starting in 29. He was huge, the singing cowboy. All right, so 888-876-5593. And I worked for him, obviously. He owned KMPC and was active when I was there, too. Yes, went to Angels games occasionally and sat in his box. So what I know about baseball could fill a thimble, maybe. All right, so, but the food was good. We'll hopefully get to everybody, but the moments are moving on, so I will just say in moments we will talk to, let's see, Sam and Gurney coming up on WGN Radio. Oh, well, it's my turn. Very good. And we'll forego the bumper because the waning moments are here, and I want to make sure we get everybody in. So we're playing Beat the Clock. Remember that game show? Sam and Gurney, welcome back to WGN Radio. How's it going, Sam? I think we lost Sam. Sam gave up. I don't know if Sam is still listening or if he fell asleep for good, but Sam, if you're still listening, I got a voicemail from Sam that said they tried to email his Elvis take, which I wanted to hear, his Elvis impersonation, but it wouldn't go through. So here's the deal, Sam, whoever is helping you, make sure you're emailing MP3s. If you're trying to email like WAV files or AIF files or something like that, they're too bulky, they're too big, it won't go through. But, you know, size it down to a nice tight MP3 and, you know, it doesn't have to be even encoded very much, but for one song, you know, my 128K mono be fine. Or even less, I'll take. But that's the problem. So if you'll get them in small bites, you will, in fact, be able to email them. All right. So with the waning moments, Mark from Aurora gets a minute or so. So hello, Mark. No, I guess Mark gets no minutes because he hung up. All right. We'll see. What's going to happen here is Ruth's going to get quite a lot of time. Well, 3 minutes anyway. So, Ruth, are you still with us or did you abandon me as well?
Ah, good evening, Mrs. James.
Yes, you're awake.
I had a tribute for Scotty.
Okay.
And I got to thinking about the sincerity of all your callers, which, by the way, I would have let you go to the next caller if there was one there and could see to them and get that blessing. However, what I find when people are complimenting you, it's not done by way of flattery. It's sincerity, the kind of sincerity that Scotty gave us.
Yeah.
And so I have a couple of requests for songs for him.
Okay.
I'm so impressed when I hear a doo-wop version of a standard pop song. And when I heard Unchained Melody, I thought it was better than the Righteous Brothers.
Oh, God.
And the doo-wop Bells of St. Mary's, okay. I thought is even better than Bing Crosby. So I thought to myself that only they could have a lot more juxtapositions for the doo-wop. And I got to thinking about Scotty's sincerity and his God Bless Yous. And by the way, Sam from Gurney, when was the top at St. Anastasia's. And what church does San Fernandini belong to? Because it must be a very blessed place. So here's my request for Scotty.
Yeah.
If you don't want to play the first request, then I have one other request that I think you'll do by one of the jazz artists. So my first request is a summer place for those who are blessed with love.
Yeah, actually, I like that, the instrumental version of that. I like that a lot. Summer of 1960.
Is there a doo-wop?
Yeah, no, there's not, and that's okay. If there is, okay. I don't know that I'd want to play it, but the Percy Faith, I would absolutely play that.
Okay, so I'm going to go to my second.
Okay, I will absolutely play
that. I'm
going
to go to my second one, okay?
Which is, yes. Okay, summertime. Yeah, well, of course, Billy Stewart's the one everybody thinks of. Yes. All right, so got it. All right, so we'll play Billy Stewart. There's also a great Roger Williams piano version of that. All right, I'll get you two of them. All right, thanks, Ruth. I appreciate it.
Good night, Scotty,
okay,
wherever you are.
Absolutely. All right, yeah, so there is a beautiful piano version Roger Williams did on that, but, of course, Billy Stewart, the ultimate. All right, so Mark from Aurora is momentarily back, maybe. Are you there, Mark? No, Mark's gone. All right, so then the last moments, and he deserves more than the last minutes, that's for sure, because we get so many wonderful stories. James on the south side. It seemed to be a fish night. How's it going, James?
Yes, I sent you the one about the cocaine shark.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what is it with fish?
Oh, and yeah, and also there's a guy who stole, 300,000, I think, cream eggs.
I don't know. I don't know. But we should, by the way, we should...
In that, yeah, it's probably in that group that got logged up and they wouldn't go through because there's like a bunch of them that wouldn't go through for some reason. My thing just wouldn't send it at first. Oh, I also got a Sky request.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not as adept at, but the ones that I do love, that I'm pretty certain Sky love, I'm going to say the Baltimore, I think it's the Orioles, basically, I heard her crying in the chapel.
Oh, sure, absolutely. Okay.
Okay.
We'll do it now.
And, okay, you...
By the way, okay. I got to tell you, when I saw the shark article, and we should mention that the reason the sharks are doing cocaine is probably because the drug lords are dumping the bales of drugs into the water rather than be captured. And I thought to myself, if that news gets out, how many are going to be looking for sharks and want to eat them? Just a thought.
Oh, my goodness.
We may have a shark shortage before too long if they discovered this.
I think it's tiger sharks. I think the main one doing it.
Well, I think there's something there. You know that somebody's going to be offering it for sale soon. But, yes, an 8-year-old girl who got severely burned by a McDonald's chicken nugget. All right. Now, the weird part about this is they actually had pictures. And... I'm curious about how McDonald's got them that hot. Never do I get really hot food, so I'm more interested in how they did this.
I know. Well, I got, like, the other day, I got a good hot, fresh filet of fish. Oh, which I had, okay, and with the fries, nice, good ones. Oh, yeah. By the way, okay, the fish thing, okay, right quick, okay, Burger King does sell their fish thing all year round.
All right, I'll be going this weekend. By the time we talk again next week, I will have consumed a Culver's, a McDonald's, and a Burger King fish, and we will talk.
Okay, but Wendy's is kind of like, they used to be year round, then they cut all the way back.
Well, a pox on their house. Yeah.
And also one other thing, Popeyes only does it during Lent, as does, I think, Arby's.
Well, right, I'll get you those three, and we'll compare notes, and thank you again for all 4,832 stories. Very much appreciated.
Okay, you take care. Have a great weekend.
You
too. And John, keep on getting better.
Yeah, boy. Thanks.
God bless.
All right. So now, tomorrow night is a replay of Monday Night Trivia, so please don't call. But Monday night, we will be back live at 10 o'clock Central with 3 hours of Monday Night Trivia, and by then I'll be more than ready for you. So until then, that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, thank you for calling. It makes the show a pleasure to do. Keep it up. Talk to you soon on WGN Radio.